The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Bahalei Sicho. At the end of Parshas Bahalei Sicho, we have a little episode which states for Tadaber, Miriam the Aaron b'Meisha, that Miriam and Aaron spoke against Meisha. Let's study that parsha this evening. There are many things that we can learn from this. It states as follows: Vaytadaber Miriam va'Aaron b'Meisha. Al edes ha isha akushi sheshelokach ki isha kushi shlokoch. Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moshe. Rashi brings from the Sifri ein dibur b'chol mokom el aloshen kosher. The word dibur refers to talk which is hard, criticism. Miriam and Aaron criticized Moshe's conduct. Further, the Sifri says, it states Vatadaber, which is Loshen Nakeva, feminine, and it states Miriam before Aaron. Melamed, Shishneam Dibru boy, they both criticized Moshe. El Shemiriam Posko Bidibor. Except Miriam is the one who started, and this is why she was punished. Now, as we're going to see, this was something which they should not have done, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers this very, very seriously. This was. Goes into the category of Loshon Hara, and we see that the punishment was very severe for this, but it mostly was against Miriam, since she is the one who started. So from here we learn that when two people engage in Loshon Hara, the one who starts has to be very, very careful, because he or she will carry most of the guilt. What did they speak about? It states al odes ha'isha hakushish. Now literally this means in regards to the black woman which he took, because he took a black woman. The Sifri asks on this. It states, was she from a black nation? Halom Mijonis Hoysho. This was Sipporah, and Sipporah was the daughter of Yisrael. And Yisrael was from the tribe of Midian, from the nation of Midian. And that was a different nation altogether. So why does it say that she was Kushis? Elo ma Kushi mishuna ba'ere kach tzipora mishuna b'noi yesi mikol anoshim. Just like someone who's black stands out amongst other people, so did tzipora stand out with her beauty. She was so beautiful that when she was together with other women, she stood out like a black woman standing together with white women. Then the Sifri also says that not only was she physically beautiful, but also her qualities were so great. Now, what did they speak about? Especially, we're talking here that they spoke about Moshe and Sipporah. So Rashi brings one reason from the Sifri, that Miriam had found out that Moshe separated himself from Zipporah, and no longer were they living together. And this is why she criticized him. Now, firstly, why? Why did she criticize? And secondly, how did she find out? So the Sifri brings two reasons. One is that in the previous Sedra, here in Bahalei Sechor, in the previous topic, it states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a Ruach Nevuah, a power of prophecy, to other people. And we have the story of Eldad and Medad. They started to prophesy. And Miriam was standing next to Zipporah, and she heard Zipporah say, Oi! How misfortunate it is for the wives of those people, because now that their husbands have become Nevi'im, prophets, their husbands are going to separate themselves from their wives like my husband did to me. This was one way they found out. This Rashi brings. The Sifri brings another reason. Miriam saw that Zipporah no longer beautified herself with beautifications that women usually do. So she asked her, why don't you take care of yourself? Why don't you beautify yourself like you used to? She said, your brother doesn't care anymore. She was referring to Moshe. So therefore, Miriam knew, she understood, and she went to talk about this to her brother Aaron, and they both discussed it, and they discussed it critically against Moshe. What was the further background to this? Because at Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah, which was not too long before this took place, there the HaKadosh Baruch Hu told all of the people that you have to separate yourselves, man and wife, for 3 days in order to prepare for the giving of the Torah. This was 3 days before Shavuos. The Torah was given, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the people, Shuvu lachem la'aleichem, you may now all go home, you may return to your homes. So from this meant that now ish v'isha yachad, you may return to your wives. They understood now that Moshe, after this, never returned to his wife. And this they became critical of, because they said, why is Moshe different than us? Because he's a prophet, we also are prophets. Because he saw the giving of the Torah, we also saw the giving of the Torah. Because he had to prepare himself beforehand, so did we. And still HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Shuv alachem lo aleichem, you may all return to your wives. And therefore they criticized him. They erred though, because at the same time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that, he told Moshe, V'ato po amed imodi, but you stay here with me. In other words, he did not give Moshe permission to return. And this was their error in their calculations. Now, Rashi brings that they were not, Miriam was not did not have malicious intentions. She didn't come merely to talk. See, it's a question, actually, it's two, there are two opinions here in the Sifri, if Meisha was present or not. But either way, she didn't do it maliciously when she gave this information over to Aaron. But she had actually good intentions. Because why did she tell Aaron this? She wanted to rectify the situation. And the Sifri says, excuse me, the Sifri says, find it in 1 minute. Chaimer. Uma Miriam Shaliniskavnu Ladabi Bahila Ganai. Miriam, she wasn't trying to downride her brother. Ella Lishvach. She was interested in praising him. Velela Mayad Mipiriyu. Ella Labis. And she wasn't trying to break up a marriage. She was trying to help the marriage. Uveinola Venatsmo. And she didn't go publicly say this all over the camp, but she kept it very quiet. And still Nansho, and still we see she was punished. So someone that who has intentions when they criticize someone else and they bring this criticism to a third party, it's in order to decrease that person's esteem in the other person's eyes, or to cause machlekes between man and wife. And not only do they say it to themselves or just to another party, but they publicize it. So al achas kama v'kama, how much more so will they be guilty of this lashon hara, and the punishment will be appropriate. Now, one important point we hear from here is that many people will engage in lashon hara, but under the cover that it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to say this. It is true. There are times when it's a mitzvah to say lashon hara. The fact is, there are times one is obligated to say lashon hara. We quoted this not long ago in a shir in the yeshiva. If somebody asks you for a reference, or not, no, if another person comes and he asks you that you know this person, he once worked for you, now he comes and he wants a job by me, and he's asking you for a reference on him, and you happen to know that this person is a ganef, then you're not allowed to be quiet. Or even if he didn't ask you, but if you know about it and you know that he's hiring him, or if you know someone is getting involved in some type of partnership with someone or some type of shidduch, and you know the other party, and you know very clearly that harm can come from it, the deen is you're not allowed to be quiet. It states, Leisamayr al dam reyacho, you're not allowed to stand idly by when your fellow man or his possessions can become hurt. You have to speak up. Now, naturally, the circumstances have to be right. And how you speak up also has to be right. And this, the Sefer Chofetz Chaim, has a whole Shulchan Aruch on. But the point we're bringing out is that there are times when one is allowed to speak lashon hara, and there's even times when one is obligated to. This is not what we're referring to. What we're referring to, how many times is it not necessary to say something, and how many times nothing comes from it. But still, under the guise, it's a mitzvah to say, we go ahead and we speak lashon hara. So here we see that that's not, that is not a justification at all. Second point we see from here, you know, this was all in the family. This is all between Miriam, Aaron, and Moshe. Many people think that if you keep it in the family, it's not Lashon Hara. Naturally, if you take criticism or genai, things which are not good, out of the family into the public, and it throws a person in a bad light, that's Lashon Hara. But if you keep it in the family, not so bad. This was all kept in the family, all between brothers and sisters. And still we see what's going to take place. Thirdly, we see more. We see that both Miriam and Aaron, that spoke this Lashon Hara, were people of great stature. Aaron was the Kohen Gadol. And he was older than Moshe. See, he was speaking about a younger brother. And he was equal to Moshe in many things. And Miriam, she was older both than Aaron and Moshe. She was the older brother, older sister. And she even brought up Moshe. And she gave her life for him when she saved him from the river with the daughters of Parah. And she also was a prophetess and very, very righteous. The fact is, she was so righteous, at the end of the Seder, we find at the end of the Seder we find that the entire camp waited for her for 7 days before they moved on, in order that she should not have to travel outside of the camp, because this had to do with her punishment. And this was a camp of 600,000. So we see how righteous she was. And there was great love between them. This is not referring to people who hated each other. And still, all of this didn't help them when it came to this Aveda of Lashon Hara. So there are many points that we learn from here. And we'll see later on. This is brought in the Sifri. We'll see later on in the Rambam. Now, the story carries on. Vayemah harak ach b'meisha diber Hashem, halei gam bonu diber. They said, this is what we mentioned. They said, was it only Moshe that Hashem spoke to? He also spoke to us. In other words, they were implying that Moshe is inflating himself too much. He's becoming arrogant. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to us just like he spoke to him. And we did not separate ourselves from husbands and wives. So why should Moshe take on? They said that he was guilty of taking on a tzidkis yisera, a chasidus yisera. He was coming too much of a chosid. Al tia tzadik harbe. A person is not supposed to be more righteous than is required from him. Because if you're more righteous than required, many times there can be, if this is at the cost of grave consequences. Very nice to be righteous, but not at the cost of your marriage, not at the cost of your wife. And this is what they were implying. She says, who does he think he is? We know who he is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to him. But Halei Rak, B'meisha Diber Hashem. Did HaKadosh Baruch Hu speak only to Moshe? He spoke to us also. And yet we are not conducting ourselves in this manner. Vayishma Hashem. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu heard this. Now the next pasuk states, Vayish Moshe onef mi'ed mikol ha'odem asher p'nei adamah. Moshe was the most humblest person of everyone on the face of the earth. What does that have to do with this? All of a sudden it brings, Moshe was the most humblest man on earth. What does that have to do with it? So Rashi explains in the Sifri, 2 points is bringing out. According to the opinion that Mesu was there and he heard them speak, so why didn't Mesu set them straight? He should have said, "You're wrong. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me. He told everyone, Shuvah lachem la'aleichem, all of you return to your homes. Be'atah, but you must remain here with me, alone. Atah pei amayri modi. You must remain here alone." Why didn't he tell them that? So the answer is Meisha was an onef mi'od. Meisha in no way did want to, Moshe in no way wanted to imply that he was on a higher level than they were. See, why? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu treat Meisha different than all of the others? And especially different than Meisha and Aaron and Miriam? The answer was, is because Meisha was different. And he was on a higher level than they were. And he reached a higher level of a oneness with Hashem, and a higher level of prophecy where he had to be in a state of tahara, a state of purity all of the time. But Meisha wasn't the one who was going to tell them this. He wasn't going to say, "Look, I am on a higher level than you are, and this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me." So because of his humility, he kept quiet. That's why the pasuk right here says, "V'ish Meisha onef me'ein mikol odom." That's one explanation. According to the opinion that Meisha was not there, so what is the pasuk bringing out? It's bringing out that Meisha wasn't affected by what they're saying. Didn't bother Meisha. The fact that they were implying, or they were calling him, they were implying that he's a he was engaged in Tzidkis Yisera. Sometimes this is called a Chosid Sheter. The Gemara uses this lotion many times. Someone who engages in righteousness which is not necessary and at the expense of other people. The Gemara refers to this as a Chosid Sheter. This is a fool's idea of what saintliness is. See? And this is what they were implying Meisha was. So the natural reaction would have been is Meisha should have been very angry. He should have gotten all burnt up over this. How dare you speak to me like this? Especially I'm the king. It didn't affect Meisha at all. It rolled off of him like water off a fish's back. Because Meisha was onof mi'od mikolo odom ashal al penei hadoma. He was so humble that it didn't bother him, at least what people were saying about him. Why is the Torah telling us this? I would think then in that case they shouldn't get punished. No. Still we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu became very angry at them and punished them for speaking Lashon Hara. Now it states next, Vayered Hashem Ba'amud Anon, Hashem came down. Rashi brings Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yetzi L'Milchoma Yechidi Hashem Ish Milchoma. Hashem came down engaged in war. We see how angry HaKadosh Baruch Hu becomes at the chet of Lashon Hara, and especially when one criticizes his tzaddikim. That's from the word Vayeder Hashem Ba'amud Anon. He came down for battle. Vayemer, and he said, Shimon Advori, listen to my words. Im yen nivyachem Hashem b'mara ilov esbade b'chalei madam berboi leikein abdi meisha. To call Beisi Nemam. He says there are prophets and there are prophets. There are those prophets that I revealed to myself in a dream, in a vision. I come to them. I put something in their hearts. I put something in their minds. That's one type of prophets. And that's all. Now there's another type of prophet, and that's Abdi Moshe, my servant Moshe, who's Bechol Beisi Ne'amon, who is my most trusted person. Pe'el pe'adam eboi, umarev elebichideish ushmunas Hashem yabit. I told him explicitly, pe'el pe'. This is not something, this is not a Hasidu Shiseiro which he assumed himself, self-assumed. I told him explicitly, Vato, pray Ameli Modi, you stay here. It's not something he made up. And when I come to him to speak to him, I do not come with pictures and with dreams and with visions, but I speak to him. This is what the Chazal referred to as the Aspaklari and the Me'ira, where he sees me clearly. The fact is, it states that they used to speak ki ish al reihu, like man to his friend. Moshe would ask, Hashem would answer. Hashem would ask, Moshe would answer. Umadua lo yereisem ledaber ba'avdi b'meisha. And you should know who Moshe is, especially you, Miriam and Aaron. And you should know how great he is. And you should know that he stands head and shoulders above everyone else. And still you have no fear to criticize him, to challenge him, to speak in a derogatory manner against his conduct. Now it states, "Be Abdi Ubemesha, my servant and Mesha." Rashi brings, even if he was Mesha alone and he wasn't my servant, you should be afraid to speak to him in a derogatory manner. He is so great. And even if he wasn't Moshe, but he was my servant, you should be afraid. And now that he's both, then certainly you should be afraid to speak against him. Now, Rashi adds in something. He says, "V'im temra, v'im temru eini makir b'maisov." Many times, when you want to criticize someone, let's say you want to criticize a servant of a king, a very trusted servant of a king, a very loyal, trusted minister of a king. So the king gets angry and says, "How dare you criticize my trusted minister?" So your isnatzlus, your rationalization, your justification is he's doing things that you're not aware of. That's usually the justification. He's doing things that you're not aware of, that the king is not aware of. So that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. I maybe your justification is is that you know something that I don't. You know something about Meisha that I don't. He says, Zu koshim min harishenu. This is a greater aveda than the first one. Then that's even worse than I thought. Because when you do something like that, till now you were only criticizing the servant. If this is your rationale, then you're criticizing the king also. In other words, you're telling the king that he doesn't know what his ministers are doing. Especially by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he said, Vim Tomru, I maybe, this is what you want to say, that I don't know really. My estimation of Meisha is artificial, is far greater than it should be. Vim Tomru, Eini Makir B'Meisha, I don't know what's going on. This is worse than what I thought you did in the first place, because now you're not only criticizing Meisha, you're criticizing me also. From all of this, what the Torah is teaching us, how we have to be careful, not only with Lashon Hara, which naturally we have to be careful of, but to criticize the tzaddikov shel Hashem, his righteous ones, his servants. When we criticize the servants of Hashem, we are not only challenging these people, we're challenging HaKadosh Baruch Hu Atzmei, because they represent Hashem. And he says, how dare you criticize my servants? How dare you criticize those who represent me? And don't give me the story that I don't know what's happening. And this is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu came ready for milchoma, for war. And as we'll see later on, the Rambam writes, because it's this attitude that you find amongst people, while we see many times in history, but in old history, but all of the time, where people will stand up against the Nevi'ei Hashem, the prophets of Hashem, or they'll stand up against the spokesman of Hashem. They'll stand up against Rabbonim. And they'll speak derogatory against them. And they'll speak Lashon Hara. And they'll criticize. We have to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't let that go lightly. Now, the story continues. Ve'onon sor me'ala ehel, v'nei Miriam mitzeras kasholik. Kodesh Baruch Hu had come down in the ehel. It says, v'yichar af Hashem bom v'yilach. And Kodesh Baruch Hu became angry. And then he went away. And as he went away with his cloud, Miriam was stricken with tzeras, with leprosy. Kasholik, her skin was white as snow. And Aaron looked at Miriam and she was a leper. Then Aaron went to Meisha and he beseeched Meisha. He says, don't let your sister be kemes, like someone who's dead. You must be mispalul for her, pray for her. And Meisha went and he was mispalul for her. And the story carries on, and then she was tisoger. She was to be tisoger. She was shomim mechutz lemachane va'achate osef. She was to be locked out of the camp. She had to go outside of Gimel Machane. It's the three camps: the Machane Shechina, Machane Levi, Machane Yisrael, and wait there for 7 days until she was cured. And it states, "V'yom leinosa ad he osef mirjom," and the camp did not go on its way until she was able to come back. And then the camp continued on its way. Rashi brings the Gemara in Seita, Davtes Omed Beis. Why did she deserve such honor that the entire camp waited for her for 7 days? She held up a whole nation. So this was Mida Kenegan Mida. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives, when he gives punishment, he gives it in due measure, which is exactly like the wrongdoing, and when he gives reward, he gives it in due measure. And this was a reward because she had waited for Mesha. Actually, the Gemara brings, when he gives punishment, it's equal. When he gives reward, it's a whole calculation of many times more. And there, Tesis brings from the Medrash how it was calculated, that how long she waited for Mesha, it was calculated that many times more, and the whole camp waited for her. She waited for Mesha by the riverside to see what would happen to him, and to make sure nothing wrong happened, nothing dangerous would happen to him when they hid Mesha in the basket. And this is why the whole camp waited for her. She only waited for Mesha. Here 600,000 are waiting for her. The Chazal tell us that Mesha was shokul kenegra am. Mesha was equal to the whole 600,000. Now, so what do we see? That she was stricken with this she was stricken with this leprosy, which is an einish kosher, a very, very difficult, a very strong punishment, lechet kosher, for this very strong aveira. And the Mendrash tells us further that the Baal Loshon Hara is the one who's mavdil, he separates between people. You bring love between people, so you bring them together. You bring friendship and happiness and fraternity to people. You bring them all together. You make one out of them. The Baal Loshon Hara is just the opposite. They are always lowering the esteem of one person in the eyes of another. And they bring machlekes. The Baal Rechila is the Rochil, he's the one who brings information from one to another that he knows will incite them. Incites machlekes. So he's just the opposite of the one who brings achdus, brotherhood and fraternity, but they divide people. Hu hivdil bein ish lechavere, bein ish leishtoi. Man and another man and his wife. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, on Baal Loshon Hara, he has no place in the camp of Israel. And they have to go outside of the camp. And they have to stay there alone until they are cured. The hate of the Metzera, this plague of Tzaras. This is a plague which was not a natural sickness. It was an unnatural sickness. The Maral brings, this was something which was very zor, strange, alien to the person. It was against the nature, contrary to his nature. Why does it come on Loshon Hara? Excuse me, because Loshon Hara also is something which is alien and contrary to a person. Shlaima HaMelech said in Keheles, in Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Im Yishoich HaNochosh B'Leilochash. The snake, and the Gemara explains this in Sekhte Erech in Daf Tes Vav, that the serpent is different than all other animals. It says, Ari is Deiris Veichel. Zeiv is Teiris Veichel. The lion is destructive. But why is he destructive? Because he wants to eat. Therefore, he will tear an animal to eat it. The wolf is destructive. But why? Because he wants to eat. So therefore, he will destroy an animal to eat it. But the serpent is destructive, but he doesn't eat. The serpent, all other animals will not attack a person. Unless they're hungry, or let's say all other animals will not attack another animal, unless they want to eat. Or if it's self-defense, or if they're protecting their young. But otherwise, holachle, they won't bother. But the serpent can always attack. That's why it says you must never trust the serpent. Okay. This is the snake. Why does the serpent do that? Why? This is his nature. Where was he given this nature? Evo Oshish. During the time of the Chet with Adam HaRishon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I shall place in your nature hatred between you and the woman, and between you, your seed, and her seed. So all other animals will destroy only for their to gratify their physical needs. But the snake will destroy even not to gratify his physical needs, because his nature is that of hatred. That's why the sages say, never trust the snake. And this is what Shlomo HaMelech writes, Im yoshech hanochash b'leilochash. The serpent will strike even though he has no physical need for it. Now, the Gemara in Erechim comes along and says that in the next world all of the animals are going to gather around the snake. They're going to look at him and say, why are you different than all of us? For this very reason. So the snake will answer, which is the rest of this pasuk in Kehelis, Ma Yisrael Lebal Aloshen, that he has nothing over man's tongue. And that's what the serpent will answer. He says, don't look at me like I'm something that's queer and strange. Look at man. All of man's capacities, all of his faculties, will only do something wrong, but for a physical gratification, for some type of gratification. But his tongue will destroy even though he has no gratification from it. When his tongue strikes out to destroy, Loshon Hara, Rechilas, he gets no physical joy from that. He doesn't get an emotional joy. He gets no mental joy from it. And the fact that the snake pinpoints the tongue, and we've explained that the snake can strike out because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Evo Oshis, I will place hatred in your heart. We see that man has an ability to destroy purely from hatred. And that's why the Maral brings Loshon Hara. Loshon Hara is one of the few Averas which is associated all the time with the word Ra. It's evil at its core. He says most Averas are not evil. Most Averas are wrongdoing, but the person is enticed into it. He's tempted into it. He's misled into it. So he does something that's not right, but we can't say it's the essence of evil. But once in a while we find an Avera that's the essence of evil. And one of the classical examples is Loshon Hara. When a person destroys with his tongue, a ganav will steal. It's evil, but it's not the essence of evil. He didn't do it because he's evil. He did it because he wants the money. And he was tempted and enticed into it. See? But when a person destroys with his tongue, what gain did he get from it? What gain does he get from the other person's fall? This is the evil. And so this is what Shlomo HaMelech wrote, Im yishech hanochash b'leilachash v'inishon l'malaloshon. There is a direct correlation between the serpent's tongue that he destroys with, his poison, and the poison of the Balaloshan, of the one who speaks Loshon Hara. This is the direct link. And therefore the Maral says this is something which is contrary to the nature of man. Because man is not made that way. Ganesh steals purely because he wants the money. Finished. Right? So therefore, since this is totally alien to the person, he is stricken with a disease that was totally alien to the person. It was an unnatural disease. This was the tzaras, the leprosy. The Rambam brings at the end of Hilchas Tumas Tzaras. He says, "A tzaras hu shema omer b'shutfis kedel inyonim harbe shein daimin zelazeh." He says this tzaras, it covers many, many cases of this type of leprosy, and we can find it in different forms, different colors, and we can find it on the clothing of person, of people. We can find it on the skin of people. We can even find it on batim, on the walls of the houses. And eina min hoge shalelu. It's not natural. Ela esu pele hoye bi Yisrael. This was a supernatural disease that struck Yisrael. Kidei lahazirim meloshen hora, in order to chastise them with the Aveira of Loshon Hora. And then the Rambam carries on, where first someone would speak Loshon Hora, so first is the walls of his house would change colors. If he stopped, then it would be good. If not, then his clothing would start to become problematic with this. If not, if he stopped, good. If not, then he would become a Metzera. And all of this outside the camp and so on. Why? Because association is good. But the right types of association, not an evil type of association. What causes the Loshon Hara, the Rambam says? Associating yourself with the wrong people. With people who gossip and people who speak about other people all of the time. And this is what the Torah said, that you should always remember what Hashem did to Miriam. When we say that you should remember what Hashem did to Miriam, not only remember, you must give thought, and you must weigh the facts of the story of Miriam. Ma'ira le Miriam anaviyah, that what happened to Miriam the prophetess, shedibra ba'achiha shayisagdeila mimena bishonim, she spoke against her brother, but she was older than him, v'gilos al bikeha, and she brought him up. And she endangered her own life to save him. And she didn't really come and tear him apart and really destroy his reputation. Her bad talk came because of an error. She equaled Moshe to other prophets, and she thought he was the same as the others. And it didn't bother him in the least, as it states, Moshe was the most humblest man. And still we see immediately she was punished with tzaras. So he says, how much more so, Adam Rishoyim, evil people, and tipshim, and the foolish people, shemarbim ledaber gdulais v'niflais, that they sit, and they talk, and they talk, and they talk. They talk together, they talk on the phone, they talk over coffee. And what do they talk about? They criticize. And they downride. And derogatory. And lower a person's reputation and his esteem. And on and on. Therefore, lefichach rei lemisha reitze lechaven orichosov. Therefore, someone who wants to go in the righteous way. Disrachek mishivosov. The answer is to distance himself from these types of groups. Don't sit and don't associate with gossipers. Otherwise, you will be caught up in what they are doing. And from here, He says they come to talk not only against regular people, but even against the tzaddikim, the righteous of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even against the righteous. And they'll even speak again. From there they'll come and they'll speak against the Rabbonim and against his Chachomim and against his teachers and against his prophets. And from there they'll come to speak against HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Like we see, the Chumash is full. And we have people that went and spoke against Hashem. And they'll come to eventually deny him. Vizuhi sichas harishoyim shegeirem eslahen. And where does it come from? He says it comes from associating when you sit with people who are these type of people. Yeshivas kinesiyei shelam yoretz. Many times you walk into a hall, there's a lot of people around, and you look for a table to sit at. Don't go to a table where you know that they're going to be speaking. They'll be speaking about this person and that person, and then they'll criticize this one, and then they'll from there go to criticize this rabbi, and then they'll criticize this righteous person, because from there, he says, they'll come to criticize HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Avosichas ksheiri Yisrael. But what is the talk of those who are upright? That's b'divrei Torah v'chochma. They speak in divrei Torah, they speak in wisdom, they speak in mitzvahs. Many times you have a group of people that when you sit with them, what are they discussing? They'll discuss and they'll say that so-and-so needs money. Maybe we can help him. Okay? So-and-so is out of a job. Let's raise a little money for him. A tragedy happened to another person. Is there something we can do? Well, this person is sick. Let's see what we can do for him. Or I'll talk about building a shul, or building a yeshiva, or helping an old age home. Or they'll talk in divrei Torah. Well, these are the yeshivas shel tzaddikim. These are the associations of the righteous. And there it states, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits. Oz nidbere yirei Hashem isha reyo v'yakshev Hashem v'yishma. V'yishma. It says HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to what's going on there. And he writes it b'sefer zikaron lefonov. And he writes it down in a sefer. So the Rambam brings that the root of all of this evil is the association with the wrong type of people. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought this in order to force an individual to separate himself in order to save him from this. Now, one final point, and that is in next week's parsha. No, it's not in next week's parsha. Excuse me. No, it's in Parshas Ki Tzetze. There we have it states, "Yishomar b'negat saras." Be very careful that you're not stricken with this leprosy. And Zohar es asher osa Hashem le Miriam. And remember what Hashem did to Miriam. The Medrash brings there, the Sifri brings there, the Rambam counts it, Zu mitzvahs esay u mitzvahs leisaseh. It's a positive commandment and negative commandment. And the Ramban brings there in the Ramban in brings in Kiseitze, he brings from the Safra, the Teres Kahanim, at the beginning of Parshas Bichukesai, that first he says this is a mitzvah's essay and a mitzvah's leisase. That if someone speaks Loshon Hara, so he has transgressed the leisase, that he did not watch himself from getting this type of punishment, heaven forbid. And he breaks a positive commandment for not remembering what took place with Miriam. But there the Ramban says, he brings this medrash, how are you supposed to remember what happened to Miriam? Yoch b'leiv, do you remember in your heart, in your mind? Hare emeri shomer. It already says, he shomer. Mata al madleima zocher, lish kodem bepeh. That this mitzvah is you fulfill only by talking. It's very interesting. This mitzvah that you should remember what Hashem did to Miriam, you can fulfill only by talking about it. We have a similar mitzvah, Zochreis Hashem Osa Hashem Amalek. Remember what Amalek did. How do we fulfill that? We read it in the Parsha. You cannot fulfill that just by thinking about it, because that's Leitishkoch. Same with this mitzvah. This mitzvah can be fulfilled only by talking about it or by reading it in the Parsha. And the Ramban further says at the in the third place, at the end of Kisetse, that's where it's speaking about Amalek. There he says, this mitzvah you have to talk about. You have to tell your family. You have to tell your children and your grandchildren what Hashem did to Miriam and why. And like the Rambam says, he's Beinanu. And to go into the whole story. And he says, even though really the Torah should have concealed this, because Miriam was a great tzaddikah, she was a righteous. And so therefore the Torah should have, lichveido, in her honor, it should have concealed this. And rather not tell you to talk about it. But because of the Chemera Inyan, because this Avera is so severe, and it's such a difficult one to overcome, there the Torah said, therefore the Torah said, you have to talk about it, tell your children about it, spread the story, in order that we should learn from it what we are required to do and what we are required not to do. Then he says, we fulfill the pasuk of Mia Isha Chofetz Chaim Eiv Teiv Eiv Yomim Liris Teiv, that who is the person that loves life, wants to see long days and goodness, he must use his mouth, must use his tongue, but for good, not for evil.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.